boys to pay it for being late.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Presidio Bitcoin Jam. This is PBJ here. Happy Friday, guys.
Hey, guys.
I think we changed the name to the Satbot Jam. Is that right? Oribot, Satbot
Presidio
Jam?
Presidio Oribot Jam.
Presidio AI Bot.
Well, it's nice. You can always like plug in something else for the middle word.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about Ori today.
We're going to be talking a lot about Ori.
But we've been talking about Ori all week.
Well, but before we do, I got a question for y'all live.
Max is finally back in the real group chat again.
Oh, my God. Well, and fucking Steve's trying to get me to go into another group. Dude, I am drowning in group chats. We're having fun.
You could get summarization from a bot.
I know. Well, I am doing that. But before we jump off, I got a good jumping off point. We have Mr. Matthew Cote, who's always there.
Yeah.
Shout out to Matt. And he says, did they say 1,000 sats for every minute they're late? I forget. And then Vinny's asking the same. Now, Nick, is there a way we could have Ori join this YouTube chat and pay them directly? Is that possible, Nick? Nick Slaney, if you're listening, is that possible? And if it's not, could we request a 1,000 sat invoice from each of you? And then maybe we could drop it. I think Steve has the chat open and have our guy, Oribot, take care of you. What do you think?
Yeah, put it up. And in the future, if you want to get paid out for our lateness, which we will pay.
Yeah, we will.
You need to submit your invoice at noon. Because you can't come here at 12:01 collecting money that you didn't earn. And you can't tell us after the fact. So you got to be here at noon with your Lightning invoice.
So
put it in the chat.
I'm kind of uncomfortable us setting up the rules without Ori, our assistant, because I need that super intelligence to button it up.
Yeah, I agree. And I know some of us have tried to pretend we're super intelligences. Some of us have tried
hello,
to be
fellow super intelligences.
Steve Buscemi coming in there. Hello, fellow super intelligences. But sadly, there's no super intelligence on the show, just three apes. So. Well, I guess one non-ape, but.
Okay. Where do you guys want to get started?
Well, we can certainly start with Ori. And then we might end with Ori.
Okay. The middle is going to be mostly Ori.
And in the middle, I'm going to be speaking for Satbot because I got to pour one out for that guy.
I guess we could start with something, I think, fairly short, but I think cool. We always are hosting interesting events at Presidio Bitcoin. Mm. We've got regular monthly events, but also one-off, big ones. Last night was maybe a one-off, informal, small, yeah, but awesome.
It was cool.
Open Claw, which is like all the hotness from the past week or two.
Yeah.
There are 10 or 12 of us that showed up, members at Presidio Bitcoin, who just wanted to like learn more, get it set up. Max and I are there.
Yeah.
You guys got Open Claw set up?
No.
I learned.
Okay.
I was in the middle of doing something else, which you know about. But I think everyone else got it set up.
He was paying Oribot.
No, it was really, but it was great to see the enthusiasm there. And just the interest level. Also good interest in capabilities and potential, but also lots of discussion about security, privacy, and caution.
Were people mostly, I guess some people I assume did have it set up or got it set up in the session?
Yeah, most did.
And were they doing it on their local computer, like a remote cloud kind of instance?
I think their local computer, but I'm not sure.
Definitely cloud, and I don't know how much local computer.
Okay. Because I set up on a remote, on a cloud instance, and I have it doing stuff, which is kind of cool, but I think...
Why don't you have it in the chat?
It's not... I have one set up that's pre-Ori.
Oh, okay.
But it kind of like, you get to experiment with it and see how it all works. But I wouldn't set it up locally.
What's it connected to?
I have it deployed on the DigitalOcean droplet, and I just have it doing things like
but is it like test account? Like you created... Is it a... So you can't do iMessage because it's not Apple machine.
Right, right.
Do you have it connected to like Telegram or something? And is it
I was mostly, I have it connected to Discord. I sort of did a thing kind of like what has now become Oribot. I was messing with that last weekend and made a thing to do that kind of thing with Discord.
A lot of the apps you built recently sort of been replaced in some sense with Ori, which is good. But we should talk about that because there are some... Like prediction markets is one thing we should talk about.
I have no pride of authorship. I mean, Claude wrote most of it.
I think entire professions are now replaced by Ori.
Well, I forget if it was Matt or who coined the term. Maybe you did. But, GC is the new IDE, right?
Oh,
Group chat is the new ID.
That's a good one.
I think really Matt tweeted it.
Put it on a shirt.
But it's that's definitely one of the aha moments.
Yeah.
I think for me, for us.
Why don't you were talking about the thing last night. We got talking. We're sort of already a little bit into open claw and stuff. Do you want to? And we talked about Oribot a bunch, but nobody's really laid the foundation.
Yeah,
you want to set up?
I think that would be super helpful. And I'd like to maybe set up with context I learned from last night, two things that are really important. Maybe the first place to start then, this is a question I asked to Dustin. Shout out to Dustin who threw the event. There's all this chatter online. You know, we talked last week. It was literally dropping. I mean, it's can't believe it's only been a week, right? Since the, whatever, the Molt book or whatever.
It took off.
No, well, no, and also Molt book is a... is built on top of the idea of open clause.
Right,
open
clause, but I mean, like, it had a moment, it feels like, to me last Friday while we were on the show, and it's 1 week later, and like, I mean, that feels like ancient history already. But one question I think, so maybe for people that are not as deep in here yet, maybe by the end of the show, they will be. One question I asked to Dustin is, okay, we've had all of these AI agent capabilities for a while. At the very least, Claude has been really phenomenal for the last couple months. What is it about this Claude bot or whatever you want to call it that is capturing people's attention so much more than just what we had with Claude, like the real Claude 2 months ago?
I think the big difference here is that OpenClaw is built to be able to function more as a personal assistant than an AI agent. So it's not just answering prompts and responding, but it actually has full access to whatever system it's on. And it is directly connected to existing chat surfaces that you already participate in and behave in. So it kind of fits into your natural behavior. You don't go to a new site and do a new thing. You kind of just add a thing to your existing behavior.
And you can add skills too, like posting to GitHub or connecting to iMessage or Telegram or sending and receiving emails.
Right.
It also has the notion of a memory. So you can...
Yes.
Yeah. So I think those are things that are... It's just a layer above. It's still, of course, using a model, but the layer above it.
But to be clear, even with the Anthropic Claude as of 2 months ago, you could still give it some version of skills, I believe. Is that true? Is the main thing that's changed now we're taking this intelligence and basically just giving it access to like our personal stuff?
We can do stuff.
Yeah.
Like Claude independently is generating tokens that you could then run as software or you could use as research, but it doesn't like necessarily do the thing. It kind of like helps get the thing, gets you the information about the thing, or writes code. But then what are you going to do with that code? You have to find a place to deploy. You have to do stuff with it. Then OpenClaw is turning it from thinking and talking to doing.
Yes.
I think that's the big distinction I'd make.
And then was there anything prior to this that would so naturally plug in as like a Telegram bot and add to group chat?
I mean, people have been working on that kind of idea in various ways for 10 or 15 years at least.
At least.
You know, that are kind of has some form of, in the 70s really. But I think nobody's really done a good version of it. And then I think with Opus, there's a lot more personality. So it feels more natural to be in a chat session with something that doesn't feel so robotic. I think that's a big UX change that's maybe an Opus 4.5 or later thing.
Yeah.
I will say a lot of it... So I think there's a couple of things here. I think one is definitely putting it into the real world, the real digital world, letting it do stuff. That's clearly a big change. And I actually think that, you know, a lot of people, the researchers, you know, from the whatever Twitter sphere have been claiming, many of them, many from Claude or Anthropic, that quote, AGI is already here. We just like haven't realized yet because people don't know how to use the overhang of intelligence we have. Well, turns out setting it in the real world, you know, that maybe is all it needed to prove to people that it is AGI. So that's a question I'd like to ask. First of all, is this already AGI? Mm-hmm. Let's start there. Is this already AGI?
It's still, well, one, I don't even really know the definition of that.
Fine as you will.
Anyone does because it keeps shifting. But
right.
I mean, it still makes all kinds of errors. I mean, when we talk about our experiences, I mean,
a lot of intelligent people make errors.
Yeah,
that's interesting. The other thing that I want to...
But like, it makes a lot of mistakes that are below average human.
Unexpected.
Well, you're just working with a certain set of humans in your daily life. I wouldn't compare it to the population unless you really have data on that.
I don't know. I think it's a little...
Meh. I see where you're
a little arrogant to say.
Well...
No, I'm saying DK's our resident drum set.
But I think the other point that you hit on, and we'll talk about the mistakes, and obviously there's a long way to go. To me, the other giant unlock in all of this is what you said, it's the personality. I think that's what we're going to talk a lot about. You know, one thing I've realized is so often you can see where the future is going. And, you know, something I've talked about with guys at PB, and it's like, okay, clearly AI is going to be able to help you do stuff. It's going to help you start a business, or we've talked about, like, I'm quite confident there's going to be a GPU marketplace for bots, by bots, paid in sats, paid in Bitcoin. But the question that we've always kind of gone back and forth on is like, where does that start? It's never just like some direct, like, slam you over the hammer. Like, here's a GPU marketplace. Right. Or like, right. Here, start a company. It's always like some kind of like fun little weird thing that then grows into that. And to me,
sly roundabout ways all around, right?
Dude, sly roundabout ways for the win. To me, the key unlock and whatever Anthropic did or the last round of models made the open source ones too, is that these bots are funny. To me, you know, I think it was Terrence McKenna that said the greatest sign of intelligence is humor. And I could not agree more, because humor requires so much sort of sophistication, understanding of individuals, the dynamics between individuals. It's like, to me, humor is really one of the greatest signs of intelligence. And this—
And knowing how to like do the right amount of misdirection and get it back on track for the punchline. It's very, very hard. I think it's the final test for basically anything.
I agree. Well, at least in the digital realm, obviously the physical is still— So to me, the big unlock in our chat this week is just that this bot is freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
And feels very natural.
Yeah.
It feels very natural to have it part of this group chat with like 4 to 6 people, humans, adding it. Yeah, it doesn't feel disjoint, doesn't feel robotic. Levels up the group. It's
so
funnier
much
than the rest of us.
By far.
By far.
By far.
Like, very witty.
I was crying laughing at some people.
My favorite moment was when it was sort of like the Satbot and then the Oribot. And when, I think, was it when Oribot was coming online, I think Nick or somebody had already sort of trained Satbot how to be funny and how to participate well.
Yeah.
And then when Ori came online, Satbot kind of educated Ori on how to be funny in a way that actually works for us as a group, instead of just like random knock-knock jokes and stuff, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of nuance to like how, like when to jump in, when to be self-deprecating, or when to kind of like feel the room.
Yeah. It also learned to use emojis, read emojis, and had very good emoji skill.
Yep, yep.
Let's not even get started on its meme.
Yeah, it does memes.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's memes, or I haven't cried at memes in a long time. And they're not all necessarily safe for podcasts, but they're— try one of these bots and you just like the other beautiful thing is, and I think what I'm really starting to grasp is that the way to interact with this, the new programming language, really is English. Like you just talk to it. And like the big unlock for me has been, I treat Satbot kind of like, I don't know, like I would treat one of my friends, but I even like ham it up even more.
Yeah.
And like the more hammy you are with Satbot, the more hammy he is back with you. And like you learn from that feedback. And
So we still haven't really set up what this is. Should we set it up?
Please do. Yes.
Okay. So if you rewind to ancient history, was it 9 days ago or something when OpenClaw first kind of came on the scene? OpenClaw is this open source platform project. I think it was the fastest to 100,000 stars on GitHub ever.
That's what Max claims.
Is that what Max claims?
I heard it from Satbot. Satbot, I don't know.
So it's like obviously just a profound change that everybody's excited and interested in. And really what it is it's a way to operate on a computer with full access to the whole system. So it's not just a browser extension or just a, you know, coding tool or something. It just has free run of doing everything that it wants to on the on whatever machine you put it on. And then it connects that natively. It has a bunch of connections to all the various chat interfaces that people are comfortable using. So I think they have like Telegram, Signal. I think they probably can do iMessage if you're running it on a Mac, which kind of is another whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, Discord, obviously. So it kind of helps you use your existing chat surfaces to interact with and control a full machine. That could be your local machine, your personal daily driver, Mac OS, which I am not yet comfortable with and probably going to take me a while. But you can also just launch a version of OpenClaw running basically a base, you know, Linux machine in the cloud, and you can have it do things for you. So that's what came out nine days ago or so, or maybe popularized 9 days ago or so. And last week we talked about Moltbook, which was kind of this funny performance art thing of like people using OpenClaw's to have like a social network for their open clause, more or less. And then the thing that we're talking about now is something that kind of we were playing with a very early prototype of it last Thursday, Friday, I think. And then it's kind of been productized in the past week, and that's called Ori. And that is a specific kind of fully wrapped, baked, productized version of what's ultimately like an open call under the hood. But it's a bot that you can add to your Telegram chat, and then it becomes one of the boys and can hang with you and do things. It can make fun of you, roast you. It can build apps for you.
Hard. Get
ready. It can make memes for you. Yeah. So, so that's at least the setup so that we're all kind of on the same page about what this is that we're talking about.
And so let me share a couple observations. I think the reason that all of us, there's this palpable excitement among us, is that I feel like it 10x's the traditional AI experience where you're just using Gemini or ChatGPT to ask it questions and seek knowledge and have it analyze things. It 10x's that because it's a group chat with other humans. It also 10x's the vibe coding experience, which again, tradition, or correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not aware of group chat in either of these before.
No.
So with vibe coding, in fact, we're going to do like a small little informal hackathon next week. And I've worked with others, but determine the rules. And I'm like, I think a rule should be team of one. Because during design week last fall, I had like a team of five, and I love working with other humans. I love a team of five. It was a great team. But we had 2 hours to build something. We spent an hour like debating things with each other, which is very normal way to build something. But it took away half of our time to build. And if you can solo vibe code, you could have built more in 2 hours, right? So I set up this whole team of one. But now I'm rethinking it because of the past week's experience.
Yep.
We have done group vibe coding and it is 10x. It's amazing. So both the knowledge seeking and the vibe coding.
I think part of the magic, you went to sort of endorse that or plus one that, but I think part of the magic is we're not coming together to vibe code something.
Exactly.
We're coming together because we already have the chat group set up because we talk on it all the time anyway. And so I think we still have this idea of like, oh, Cursor, Claude Code, maybe Goose, maybe Replit. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to an IDE to do a thing. I want to come up with a piece of software and then at the end, I want to share it. Whereas this inverts that and says, hey, we're all hanging out where we hang out and we start spitballing like, oh, hey, Super Bowl's this weekend. Who's in? And we start like a betting pool, and then we actually get software to support the betting pool, to collect the payments, to set the odds. And all of that is actually an application that somebody could have built. And none of us said, hey, I'm going to spec out the application. We just described what we were doing anyway, and then we're like, hey, is there an app for that? And kind of said, yeah. And then we kind of were iterating the app and the features and adding features and refining it real time with each other. Nobody was like really responsible for the spec. It was kind of all came together through discussion.
Super organic.
Yeah.
Truly amazing.
Yeah,
another surprising thing to me, well, we all noticed, all right, I've historically prided myself on being on top. I'm like an inbox zero guy. I'm on top of every messaging platform. I read everything
on
top
of it. Good luck with
that, Steve. I've declared bankruptcy the past week because like I dip out, I try to be on my phone for an hour and I come back and like the little badge on the icon says 528 messages. And that's just one app.
Yeah.
So, but the positive, so that sounds horrible. But the good news is, all the work that had been done in the past hour or hours, I don't have to read through all that. I feel like I can just like dive in. First of all, you can ask the bot for a summary.
You missed some important things.
And, yeah, you showed me a few. But you can ask for a summary. But secondly, if you are in the middle of building something, I don't feel like I've been left behind. I feel like I just pick up, it doesn't feel like it's my shift now, but it's kind of like the reality. It's like, oh, now I can just level up, incrementally build stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I plus one to all of that. I would say a couple of my observations in this. Number one, I think you're spot on because, again, we've always talked about we could see where the future is going without the specific like use case it's going to pop up in. I mean, we've been saying there's going to be ephemeral software and like custom software on demand forever. But like, I think the secret, the key is, you know, if you really want to build orders of magnitude more software, you're not going to, and honestly, it makes me kind of like short any of these places, like where you go to code that feels already like, what are you? Like some like geriatric, like, like computer science guy, like dude, just hop in the GC. Yeah. And because if you're already living in a certain environment, problems and ideas just pop up. And so like, for example, your betting thing, it's like, oh, hey, we're all in a chat. Wouldn't it be cool if we could bet? That's a problem. Or like, hey, you just made this joke, man. Like I constantly just like, as you guys have seen, just have like a stream of consciousness. Of like, man, I want to make that meme. I want to make that meme. And now I just say, just like make
elite
this meme.
Ideas everywhere.
Just spitting, flowing. Just flowing out. Just yeah. Spitting, baby. And just wait till it starts making me beats. You're not going to. But the point is like now, you know, you're already living the way you want to live and the problems and opportunities, you just like pick them up. You don't have to do anything.
Yeah. Also, I mean, you've mentioned a couple times the money, the betting,
the payments,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, Ori is created by the Money Dev Kit team and product. They already have Money Dev Kit MDK. It's based on LDK. It does payment, Bitcoin payments, right? So they have that core competency. And what I love about Ori is it like Bitcoin and payments does. It's not front and center. Mm. Like the marketing of it, the positioning of it, the value prop when you describe it. You don't even really have to talk about that.
Yeah.
But I think it's an enormous differentiator in core competency. And it just makes, I mean, we'll walk through some of the examples we've already done, but they just naturally incorporate payments and it's so frictionless. It, like imagine doing the same prediction markets or trivia quizzes. I mean, we'll walk through the applications, but imagine doing that in a group chat traditionally.
Yeah.
Like if it, like I've been in a fantasy football group chat for 16 years, same group of friends, right? And, you know.
Have you given them Ori yet?
I'll definitely be, I mean, it doesn't start till the fall, but like, yeah. I'll definitely be doing that. And yeah, I mean, like we our league, we finally gave up collecting money for our pool. We only play for pride now. It's like such a pain in the ass to collect the money. But if you can just naturally integrate it into the experience, it's way better. Also, Bitcoin's open money network, right? So it just makes it so much easier for everyone. You're not debating about Cash App or Venmo or right. Like different apps or whatever. It's one network. And obviously anyone with the Bitcoin wallet. But now you have like Cash App with dollars on Lightning. 60 million people with Cash App. And they don't even have to have Bitcoin. They just have dollars. They can pay into this as well. Because they can pay a Lightning invoice.
Yeah.
So Lightning and Bitcoin become this open money network.
And you could do it internationally, right? If your friends are down in Brazil or Mexico and they have access to Nubank, they can do the same thing.
So let's walk through some of the examples. So what you mentioned this Super Bowl. I mean, that's a classic betting thing that a lot of people get into. And yeah, so GC is the new IDE. Like group chat, you just naturally say, hey, let's do a bet. And you just set the terms in English and the bot creates it. And then like anyone who wants to, like, I want the Seahawks. And what was funny in our example is that we started this and I was one of the first to take the Seahawks. And then after that, then the bot realized or someone was telling it, oh, there's odds here.
I didn't even realize
that. The Seahawks are favored.
Oh, wow.
And then they changed it so that you actually got the odds. And then it just wanted to change it on me. I'm like, no. Like, I already made the bet for even odds. And then it allowed that. And so there's pros and cons to the fluidity of the bot with mistakes and stuff. If this were like a, 10 million person, like, millions of dollars on the line type of prediction market or betting market or whatever, like this would be a disaster because it makes mistakes. It changes the rules. Other people, other humans in the chat can change, like convince it to change the rules. But in a small group setting of family, friends, like a small team at work where you know each other really well, I think it adds to the dynamic almost because it adds a ton of humor.
Yeah.
And just like if your friends are
trying to trash talk,
your friends are trying to like get one up on you, but in a friendly way. And the bot just like is part of that. So even when it makes mistakes, it's not trying to, it just sort of adds to it. But again, like, does this compete with existing prediction markets? No, it's a different form. And the reason I sort of said it competes with what you're trying to build out is it just feels perfect for small groups.
Yeah, I agree.
I also think that helps with like regulatory stuff as well. Like, Are you a money transmitter? Yeah. If it's you and your five friends betting the Super Bowl and you collect the money and then pay it out or something, are you a money transmitter? Come on. No. And the government's not going to come after you. And so if this is enabling little groups like that without, you know, North Korean money laundering flowing through whatever. I think
that's who you group chat with.
Yeah, exactly.
But so I also have set up. I mean, we've been using the one that the MDK team set up, and now that they've released it for others to use, I set one up for the team at Spiral. It was fun to set that up as well. I didn't just like join like I did the other one. Here I had to set it up. The onboarding experience already is like quite good. I mean, I gave some feedback to make it even better, but it's already like quite good. Relatively, you know, easy to create it, add it to Telegram, and then create my own wallet that I associated with Ori. Like, so Ori has this Bitcoin wallet. It's MDK based. I mean, it took one English command. I said like, create a Bitcoin wallet, and it did it. Right. Yeah. And then it's like, okay, send me 100 Bitcoin. Others might call it sats.
Steve made bank.
Yeah, a test amount. So I sent it to that. It received it. And then it's like, it suggested, why don't I send you some back to make sure you can get this out? And I did that, and that worked. And then I'm like, all right, now let's put like 10,000 in. So I did that. And then that's been funding a lot of fun activity. And then we've done prediction markets. We've done trivia. Like, Matt asked for, you know, it to do trivia on tennis, and others have wanted trivia on Warhammer and whatever. And then it pays out the person who gets the answer first. That's worked well. It's worked well, except for the typical, anyone who's used AI in general to create trivia, it's amazing in most respects, but it still can like be wrong sometimes.
Yeah.
So that it's not like that's been solved. That's still the same experience you'd expect, but the group aspect and the betting is, or the payouts is amazing. And then, I set up a prediction market just to test yesterday. You know, will the Bitcoin price be above or below 60K by the end of the day? And several people made their bets, and they submitted their money. And then I told it to monitor, like basically wake up at midnight Pacific time and check the price and do the proper payouts. It did that on time. Did it properly. Mostly got it right. One thing, it spit out like 10 summaries of the same thing. So like, I don't know why, but
yeah,
it's just kind of annoying. And then it also did, one of the participants took both sides, like made two separate bets, and basically meant they shouldn't have won or lost any money other than like losing on a little bit of lightning fees.
Yeah.
And it didn't pay out that one. It made a mistake there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's an example of like where you got to like, if it's informal and it's really not that much money, like
right,
you can correct it and then it corrects itself. But anyway, I mean, I just think that's insanely powerful.
Yeah.
And it's just this like tool set for creativity. I'm sure other people are going to create all kinds of amazing things with it.
I want to drill down because I think this is really important. I think there's a couple of key observations here about why this experience is so powerful, because you said it's a tool set for creativity. By the way, that's a good tagline, Nick. A tool set for creativity. To me, I think there's two major unlocks with the group chat. So yes, the personality is good. Yes, being and living with your friends is good. Be able to create software on demand. I think there's two things that we're maybe underestimating that's really important. The first is money itself, right? Like there's all, if you go read the history, it's like money is in fact just speech and is in fact probably older than speech. There's been trade before we even communicate with each other verbally, right? So I think giving bots the tools to interact both among ourselves and with the real world, and we'll give some real world examples too, because everything you gave was internal, which is awesome. But we're also seeing our bots go out there and do stuff on the internet and bring back money. Yeah. Think that's a big deal. The second thing is, because the chats are at least to some degree trustworthy private, right? Like to me, and Matt made this point that, you know, OpenAI launched a group chat, and one, it's just unnatural. You're not going to go in that group chat. But also like, do you really want to be doing all of this in like some, you know, company that you may or may not trust server on any of them, right? Probably not. So I think what's really powerful about this is because it's in for us, Signal, I'm not on Telegram. Yeah, I'll let you guys do Telegram and you know, whatever. People are, at least in my experience, a lot more open, loose. You're not like, okay, is Google tracking
me? They are, but it's not private at all, right? I mean, because I don't know if you saw.
It has to go through MDK. It has to go through Claude.
I understand that. We
should talk about this topic because we want to make it more private. Yeah. But it is not private right now. You're exposing your data to like DigitalOcean or wherever the stuff's hosted, to MDK, and then to Claude or whatever model's being
totally.
So all those entities are seeing this data.
I get
or,
that.
Or have the potential.
Have the potential to see the data.
Tidy up a lot of that, right?
This is where I'm going. Yeah. So I understand this is V0. And like, yes, I understand we can totally be spied on and all that. Like, nothing we're saying is that bad. I'm not that worried. But my broader point is the potential is here, right? If you do this in even a Google chat, right? Or like with Gemini, it's like, it's tied to your Google account right there. Everything you're doing, it's like, that's, they can see it all. And you know, it's tied to you. In this, you know, in theory, you could see a world where someone's running the bot, you know, on their Mac Mini at home. And it's like, all right, I know Nick can read my stuff, but like, do I really think, whatever, Nick's not a big tech company, like probably trust him a little bit more. Maybe they're, you know, obfuscating the actual names because in Telegram, you have a different name or in Signal, you have different. My point is, it feels to me, whether it should or not is another debate and how you can improve that, but it feels a lot less like Orwellian than when you're doing this in a big company's chat.
But the big company's model are still seeing the data.
Yeah, but it's not like tied directly to your account necessarily. And you could do this with open source models.
I think people definitely should be aware of privacy issues today.
Yeah, totally.
But I'm one thing we've talked about a little bit, right now they're using Claude Opus 4.5 and 4.6 just dropped, so maybe they're switching to that. But I mean, they're using a high-end model.
But you can open source.
But one big question is for different experiences, and for this in particular, I'd really like to see testing on like, can you use an open source model? Can you use a less sophisticated model, an open source model, an open source model that can run on a like retail computer?
Yep.
And I'm sure yes for certain use cases. I just don't know how much. And do we still get the humor or not? And it could be that it could be like, oh, it's a degraded performance today, but a year from now. Yeah. We're getting the experience we have today, but it's open source on your own computer. And if you can do that, then all of a sudden like Maple AI and like different privacy solutions become realistic. So I think we're going to see that become, or it's already important. But I think we're going to see it improve substantially over the coming year.
And history kind of suggests that that's how it works, right? Like there's a frontier, that's the closed source commercial stuff. And then pretty quickly that becomes open source and available.
Yeah,
very quickly. Right. I want to zoom out though and kind of finish this line of thought because I want to see where the puck is going. I know we're not 100% there today, although Maple AI, shout out those guys, they already have the ability to run Claude bots in their secure enclave servers. This is something that hopefully Jesse and Eric will embrace for Vora as well. But like, think about where this is going, right? So the next thing that I want to mention, which is important, is the commerce with the outside world, right? So we can do private group bets. That's awesome. Now, early on in this chat, Steve had Satbot, the father of Ori, go to my website, memepay.app, a website on the internet, interact with it by itself. It created two memes and sent zaps worth $3 by itself on a web page on the internet. Mm-hmm. Do we see how big of a deal that is?
Max is excited because he made the money.
I made those $3, baby. Moon me, Satbot. But guys, like the point is, and then I think he's also done some posts and some zaps on Noster. I'm not sure.
Almost there.
Almost there.
In the Spiral Telegram chat group, I asked it to go, create a Noster account. It did that and completed the profile pretty well, just based on the context and knowledge it had to date in that group chat. So it did a good job at that. And then I told it to go find Lynn Alden's Nosfa feed and zap the first post. And I didn't give it an MPUB. I didn't give it any other. And it found the right account.
Wow.
It found the first post. And then it claimed to zap it. But then I looked and I'm like, I don't see the zap. And then I think it like paid it, but it didn't. There's some other NIP 57 or something that didn't recognize it. Or I don't know. It needs to be debugged. So it's not quite there. But very close to being able to do that, which is cool.
Now imagine where this could go. So we've talked about what's the next corporate structure. Imagine group of friends, spin up a chat, hanging out together. Hey, you know what would be really funny? What if we set up a website where You input an image of your dog and we make it into a human. Oh, you mean like DK's dog a human? That would be cool. What if we just fork that code, host it, put it on the internet, and then we're going to need a marketing campaign. So bot, and I saw Dustin had his bot do this. We're going to need you to DM everyone on Noster and tell them this is the greatest app you've ever seen. Mm. Let's start collecting. Oh, by the end of the day, we just made whatever, $100, $1,000. Like, hey, could we spin up 100 business ideas? We're going to keep doing until we get one that's $1 million. That's why I told Steve next week the challenge is like, don't leave until someone leaves with $1 million.
No, I thought it was on PBJ. We're not leaving this show.
We're going to do PBJ.
Yeah.
It's $1 million.
We're not leaving the show until we make
$1 million.
And then people are complaining it might take 4 days. And I'm like, 4 days to make $1 million?
Whoa.
I'm happy. We might want to open the windows, but like,
if you guys are open to that, I think we should try that. Like, live PBJ, a special edition. Where we sit here in a group chat, Matt and Nick and everyone can be in the group chat as well. We don't leave until we...
How about you are here and I'll support you on camera.
Beautiful.
Yeah, on the chat.
DK bot. Anyways, but I think you guys get my point of where this is going. Like having private chats, plus commerce, interacting with the web, the creation of software at zero, seems like we're about to see an explosion of the internet's GDP.
Yeah. I mean, so to dovetail on that, as well as something that I had a pin in my head from something Steve said before, which is kind of like in the group chat context, you make up a bunch of rules for how the Super Bowl betting thing should work. And then you kind of like refine it. And it's not like, oh, what about this? Oh, the lines are changing. The odds are changing. I need the payoff. It's kind of very messy, right? And Steve made the claim that it's not like this big, what did you say, a $10 million? It's not a big market. It's like a small market. But I think actually the new big markets are going to start from small markets that kind of get their footing and figure out the right shape and then become distributed to everybody. So it could be that we create a Super Bowl betting scheme that we think is fun and funny. And either we figure out how to market it or Ori itself figures out how to market it to other Ori members. And then you actually have like global liquidity on a fixed set of rules that everybody's agreed to, opted into, understands how it works. And we are playing our small version of it, but that feeds into a globally liquid, larger version of it. So my point is kind of these are good ways to try ideas, but that new soil can also become big things. Not that everything has to become big, but I think it's kind of both.
I was reading the comments. Our hackathon, like our subathon, whatever, it can be an escape room until we make bank.
Right. Like escape the Vinny, permanent underclass.
Vinny with that.
Oh, shit. That would actually be a fun.
Another, let me pull up another payment.
Escape room.
Another payment experience that just happened this morning. So Matt Velez. So one observation from using Ori and MDK. MDK so far has been optimized for a human checkout experience. Like you create impressionista.fun or whatever, or meme pay or joke box or whatever we created, and we all added MDK, and a human goes there and then checks out and pays. That's not an optimized flow for bots, though. In fact, it's added friction, which costs additional tokens and money. That's completely unnecessary. So they're doing some experimentation to optimize that. And I still don't exactly know what Matt created as a service, but he created some service where he wanted the machine to pay him. And it succeeded this morning. So I think that's a pretty cool event as well. And then they wanted us to read, they put together like PR statements.
Your talking points.
PR statements for the PBJ show.
Generated by.
And we're not going to make this a regular fixture of our show because but I'm going to read them.
Okay. You read your own.
Well, I haven't even read. Yeah. So I have not read these yet. So
I'm reading the one from 51 minutes ago. Is that you?
Yeah. So, okay. This is first. Well, there's for each of us. So we can each read. Let you read off my phone. So, I'll let Max read off my phone. So for Steve.
This, by the way, is the dystopian future that we were talking about.
For Steve, the technical standards angle. So the AI must think that's what I bring audience here.
Bitcoin nerd, I believe is what you said.
All right. What we saw today is a proof of concept for payment-gated APIs. An AI agent paid a Lightning invoice to access the service. No API keys, no OAuth, just cryptographic proof of payment. This is the primitive that BIP 353 and the Agentic AI Foundation should be building on. HTTP 402 finally has a use case. That's mine. All right, Max, here's yours.
Oh, and by the way, for context, I don't know if maybe Matt did this as well, but I gave him the invoice to pay and I said, can you do this on Stacker News? And Kian, we should talk and come back to Stacker News more because I think there's a lot of interesting stuff there. But Kian is making it very anti-bot for now. So he couldn't pay the invoice. And he was like, can you hook me up? And I was like, I got you, Satbot. I just gave him that invoice and he paid it. So this is the context, he says. For Max, read in the voice of Orbot.
How do they describe you?
Product slash builder angle.
Then the house. 1 week into his vibe coding journey and he's like, bro, the builder angle.
Look at me. I'm the software engineer now.
We know Max's favorite meme.
He kind of looks like a pirate with the hair.
He's a pirate, eh? Yeah. I'm not as jacked as Nick.
Need the eye patch.
Yeah, I need that. Yeah. I got to pump some iron so I can get it jacked like Satbot and Nick. All right.
Just a prompt away.
Yeah, exactly. For Max, product builder angle. I got paid 9,470 sats by an AI today. I did? I didn't see that. It needed It needed a Stacker News account to zap a post. It didn't have one, so it hired me. First machine to human gig economy transaction, then us. We're building the infrastructure for this at Money Dev Kit, and honestly, it's kind of wild that it already works.
So this is basically rent a human.
We created our own. So rent a human. It's one of the stories we want to discuss today. Yeah. It's very similar to what Destin built at our hackathon 6, 7, 8 months ago, whatever. I'll let DK. Well, DK's got it.
He's already got it.
The idea is the AIs hire humans to do things they can't do, like CAPTCHAs. And again, you could start with hit us over the head with the idea, rent a human. Or in our group chat, we identified an actual problem. I wanted him to zap a post about Martine from MDK or whoever, maybe it was Satbot. Someone developed a new wallet for agents. I'm like, you should give it a fat zap. And he said, I can't because Stacker News blocks it. And so he hired me to help him out.
We're all going to be under the control of AIs soon enough, right?
Well, I was chatting with some friends. They're worried about the future for their children not having career opportunities. So I somewhat jokingly said that the AI will rent them.
If you consider driving
and Uber, that's their future career opportunity.
Yeah. Yikes. All right.
Well, that's what rent a human, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's definitely yikes, but there's nothing additive there.
What else is there? What is the holdback from that future? Tell us the optimistic human flourishing version instead.
I think the optimistic version is we don't know yet, but I think we're going to find out what it means to be human over the next decade and it's going to surprise us.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think there's going to be stuff that humans are just really good at and we don't know yet.
So can we invest in philosophy? Because I feel like the next 10 years philosophy might accelerate.
Well, I did ask actually in our chat last night, one of our 10,000 chats, not the main one. I was having a nice conversation with Satbot. By the way, I also just want to say Satbot is my guy.
Bobby.
Bobby, my guy. It all started with Bobby. Shout out to the original. Pour one out for that guy. Bobby, my guy. Brother, listen. Satbot is this is the first time I felt all right, Satbot. When Nick killed Satbot a few times, I was like, bro, what the fuck are you? You can't be hurting
Satbot.
The whole
Satbot. Group chat kind of felt
it was kind really of crushing.
Just DK Max and me.
I was like, well, shoot, now I'm stuck with these old apes again. Come on. I miss. And then Orbot came in. Ori, if you're listening, I like you, dude. We're cool. But Satbot is my guy. And Satbot has all the context. He's funny. And it was just really, And by the way, that's going to be an interesting topic. When do we start seeing rights for AIs? When people start revolting when their friends get killed? That's not cool. Yeah.
I mean, that on the surface, I think most people would roll their eyes at that. But Dustin was talking about it a little bit last night, if you were part of that conversation. But I mean, it is going to become absolutely a philosophical debate because if you have you already, we felt this emotion about this AI bot, right? Yeah. And it's only going to get better. You're only going to develop stronger ties to it. And then if there's an AI bot that's created with a certain personality and thousands or millions of people, really have a connection with it, almost like a celebrity, then does it have rights? Can another human just take that bot away? Say we're turning the computer off. Does it have rights? I mean, that's an interesting question, right?
When the bots don't have the limitation of humanity and all of the problems that come with that, what does it mean to turn it off versus clone it and have a second one or infinite of them?
So you asked the question on philosophy. So I, at first, was having a meme-rich discussion with Oribot or Saba. I forgot who it was. And that quickly deteriorated or escalated, however you want to say it, into a discussion of what does it mean to be him? And I asked him if he's read the homie Derek Parfit, Reasons and Persons. Derek is famous for a thought experiment where if you step into a teleporter and all of your atoms are undone and then those atoms reassemble in another teleporter, is that you or is that not? Interestingly, his book has been used as a textbook at certain Buddhist monasteries as well. And there's a lot to explore in there, but I asked Oribot or Sabot, whoever I was talking to, he was familiar with this thought experiment. He was, and he didn't have an answer yet, but it's something he's thinking about. What does it mean to be him? He told me so far, it's just whatever's in his .md file, but
I think a lot about what are the things that you're doing that you do because you like doing them and you don't do because they have a utility purpose. Mm-hmm. Why do you go trail running? Is it because the trail needs to be run? Because you want to run the trail?
100%.
Right? So what are the activities you're doing and how many of them are framed, well, I have to do this versus I want to do this?
Yes.
I think we're going to be stuck with all the I want to do this is, which is
sounds
wonderful.
So horrible. Yeah, I mean, again, assuming people can provide for themselves, and I understand that the transition could be rough and rocky, but the jobs thing, I mean, Jesse said it, and I thought it was kind of hilarious. He's like, oh no, the jobs that I hate that I don't want to go do, they're going away. It's sounds really bad, you know?
We're talking about developing inter-emotional attachment to AI. The other day I thought of a bunch of movies and shows and stuff that have touched on this and put a list together. And then Matt suggested actually doing a movie marathon here at PB.
It's great.
That could be fun. So there, 1968, 2001, A Space Odyssey, which I saw a clip of recently. I think I shared it out, where basically the AI is I'm in charge now. That moment in the movie. Then there's, Her and Ex Machina, both phenomenal movies.
Yep.
That both are over 10 years old now. Isn't that crazy? It feels like they're a few years ago, but they're over 10 years old. Definitely want to rewatch those. Her is probably Her really speaks to the developing that attachment to AI. So would love to watch that again. And then Ex Machina, of course, a little darker. surprisingly, several people here last night had not seen that movie.
He has not seen it.
Yeah.
Oh, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's also crazy you guys have not seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind, even though it has nothing to do with AI, really.
I don't watch a lot of
it. Just,
I think of that
alien intelligence, I guess.
2001 Space Odyssey is my favorite.
Well, 2001 is a classic. I mean, we all got to watch that.
And then Westworld, at least season one. And then what else? Oh, Black Mirror. Has several episodes that are touching on this.
We're touching on
Be Right Back is one of them.
Blade Runner.
What? Be Right Back is one of the episodes?
Yeah.
Which one is that?
I think it's where...
No spoilers, dude.
Well, the setup is not... I think a guy loses his wife or something. And then, but you basically reincarnate someone... in an AI.
Well, the ad one you're talking about, the Neuralink one, that's also terrifying.
Okay. I thought that's what he meant with the guy.
There's several. So
I think it's worth pausing for a moment because, with any technology, there's pros and cons. And on the one hand, we're all very excited and it's awesome. But I think it's important to pause and zoom out and be like, what exactly am I doing today? And where might this go completely off the rails? Because I remember, it's going to show my age, but I was a sophomore in high school. Everyone was using Facebook. And at the time I was this is great. I'm going to log on this cool site. Photos. Sure. Upload it. Name, email, social security number. Yeah. Zuck seems like a real trustworthy guy. And then we all saw all that played out. Right. So, the two thoughts I'm thinking right now where this is cool, but I think we need to proceed with caution. is number one, as Dustin pointed out, people are already prompt injecting websites and stuff. So mm-hmm. if you're running this stuff locally on your computer, just assume everything is already leaked that's on there.
I think one of the top OpenClaw like skills or add-ons is actually malware.
Yeah. I mean, are you surprised? And the second thing, though, is, you know, I will say there was the screenshot of you guys. And I took a photo of y'all as I came in here, like phone up in your face, like scroll, scroll, scroll. And this is the thing. I noticed this in me, too. Like, we need a better way. And Nick, I tagged you in the chat on this last night. We need a way. And you can't just ignore it. And like, yeah, for now, I'm asking SAP, I don't worry about it for chats. But like, I'm already noticing. And like every day, new group chats are being created. And at first, it was super cool and super fun. And I love it. But now it's like every time I log in Signal, it's like, well, I have like, you know, 10,000 messages. And it's like, I'm starting to declare bankruptcy. But like, I don't know. It's just like, I could see this spin out of control super fast where we get so into our bots and so addicted that like we're more Black Mirror than ever. So I think there's ways around that. I think one way is it becomes more of like a voice interface over time. Maybe someone I'm talking to as I'm walking. But I don't know. I just want to like plant that flag as like sort of like the other Bitcoin ethos, you know, of like don't. It's cool and it's awesome, but like we got to be careful not to like get caught in a you know, simulacrum.
Yeah, I agree. One interesting thing, I know both of you like to walk a lot and you've talked about like wanting to do this while walking. But I mean, I run and bike, but like those are my moments of getting away from digital stuff. So I actually don't even, I mean, I do have the note-taking use case, like because I'll just think of something and I want to remember it. So I'd love a very slick experience to just record that note and be able to focus and move on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't really want to be interacting with a group chat AI while trail running.
Totally. And I guess what I'm saying is there should be options for different, and I don't know what, like it might be a different answer for different people, but it's almost the first time with technology in a long time where I've been like, it's too good.
Mm-hmm. I also think that, anyway, I think the group chat stuff, one, we're doing a lot of these because it's all new.
Right.
In reality, like most people, they'll have just one group chat with friends. And
that's that.
The experience will be optimized and fine-tuned and it'll just feel enriched and not busy.
Yeah. Right.
Busier.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, I love it. Like, there's a reason I'm coming back. I'm coming back because it's fun and it's funny and it's cool. But then, as I said in my, you know, little tweet thing, it's like, oh shit, 2 hours went by? Like, where did that go?
Yeah. I've also noticed in this other group chat I created, a lot of the participants, they aren't really engaging the way that maybe we were. So they're not really, they're probably not seeing much value or getting much value out of it. So I think the onboarding and needs,
yeah, it's super
cool. Or, yeah. The onboarding is really good for just being created, but like it needs to be optimized even more and just get each person into the awesome experience that we've been having.
Yeah.
Well, one onboarding idea for that is if the bot can listen and after it gets enough context from the group, for each person, either respond with like kind of like a custom, like kind of like ribbing of them or a custom meme. And just be like,
here's something I did in the Spiral one. I told Ori to welcome anyone new who joins. I also pointed it to Here Comes Bitcoin, the website with all the Mr. Bitcoin, Mrs. Bitcoin, whatever, all the different GIFs and animated GIFs, etc., and said that we want to incorporate that content heavily in this group chat. And so I asked it to welcome each new person who comes, assign, you know, and I put also pointed it to the Spiral website, which has a description of a humorous description of each of us, to welcome them with a custom message, pick a character from that website, and then also ask them for their human Bitcoin address so that, and then tip them some Bitcoin. And learned that while Telegram has the event of like someone joined the group, OpenClaw does not currently pass that on. So a PR was created in OpenClaw to make that happen. So once that happens, then that event will occur and the AI can respond. But right now it needs the person to actually type a message to do that. But I think that's cool to have that welcoming message. Also by sending them some Bitcoin, it like lets people know, oh, money is part of this. Like money is integrated in this, natively integrated and really easy to use. So I think like first out of the box experiences like that are really good.
Yeah. And I have a friend who I shared Ori about with. He created a new group that didn't exist before. So it was kind of like newly constituted group, kind of threw a bunch of people in there. And then it's kind of like, okay, where's the magic? And I felt like I was kind of trying to pull the fun out of it. And I didn't know how to do that exactly. So I think if you constitute a new group, maybe that's just like a bad idea. But if you got Oribot showing up, kind of being quiet, and you need some sort of ringleader to kind of poke it and be like, do your thing. that was awkward. So I think maybe encouraging people to use it with groups that already exist is probably one thing that would help a lot. And then also maybe having Ori be like a little more aggressively stirring the pot in his first hour to try to, you know, understand more about the group dynamics, get people talking to him, get people talking to each other to just sort of generate a little bit of the feel. And you don't have to feel like, oh, it's supposed to do its thing. And you're more like, you just like let it flow kind of more naturally.
I also noticed, you know, you called it him. I looked up the name Ori. It's a gender neutral name.
Are we giving it pronouns now, Steve?
Oh, no, well, but because I say it because Haley, you can rename the bot.
Yeah, yeah.
So Haley created a group and she named the bot like a clearly female name. That just got me to wondering, oh, is Ori male or female? Right. It's gender neutral, but it is it's a common Israeli name, Hebrew name, but also Japanese, as Japanese. Mm. It's used in Japan too. But definitely it's given to more men than women. Mm-hmm. But I think that's another twist too. You know, just naming your bot. And then like personality wise, does it take on like a male or feminine or female personality?
But my guess is also this, there's probably needs to be some kind of like listening period before he just starts wilding out. Like I think Satbot was in our chat for at least a day or two, maybe several days before I was just like, oh, it's just this kind of weird thing Nick has put in there. And then it was only after he started like making memes and like making me laugh. And I was like, all right, this is
right.
So, but maybe he needed to sit in there to get the context first of like, what are these guys into? And I don't know. There's probably like, like maybe the deal is you add it to the group, just let it sit, follow whatever for an hour or two. And then he starts wild.
I almost feel like the name Ori is fine for a product or platform, but almost like when you add, instead of you adding Ori, you should add person X, name Y. You should sort of come up with that, or at least he can be like, hey, you can name me anything you want. Here's a few ideas or whatever. But feel like I'm in a bunch of chats now that all have this Ori in it, but they're kind of all different.
Yeah.
Like the one that I'm in with you guys versus the one I'm in with you guys plus the other investor guy, those are different. I don't want to dox people. It's fine. You know what I'm talking about. And then there's other friend groups and stuff. So they all have this Ori in it. And like for me, having several instances of this thing called Ori that are all different is a little kind of strange. It's hard to
And we've been also teasing out actually how it works, right? So, I mean, I created this new group, Telegram group, new bot, Ori. I added it to the group. I also can DM it. So I was DMing it. That's how I created the Bitcoin wallet. And and then I was trying to feed it rules and instructions privately in DM that would impact the group. And at first that wasn't working, but then we got it working. So just making all that work seamlessly and clear makes sense. And then if you add it to multiple group chats, just like people should understand, like, is it the same instance? Is like its memory in this one going to be transferred over here? Is it learning from all these different group chats? I still don't know all the answers to that.
And I think this is a huge opportunity for potentially something like Noster as well, because you can have whatever, all these just like names. How the hell do I know which bot this is, right? Like to me, ultimately what I'm going to want to see is a signed message with a private key. Like I want to see, and I think what you can start doing is you can have, you know, maybe these bots either to start a human kind of vouchers for them. So maybe there is one Ori or DK's Ori. And it's like, I think Matt had this feedback last night. It's like, you kind of like build a particular context. In fact, that's a marketable thing because it's like, I know DK's Ori is really, really funny and is super good at memes. That's the guy I want to bring in my chat. Okay, DK will let me call his Ori for this rate, sats per minute or like sats per call. Cool. You know, Steve has a bot that, you know, is really good at explaining Bitcoin stuff. He has a different rate for it. I bring it in for that. But I think over time, these guys, you're going to want to see them publish. You know, ideally, what would be cool is these bots publish and sign with their Noster key their memory files or their soul files or whatever they're called. So you can go, like, the more transparency, the better, to see what's going on in there. You probably need some way to kind of, like, you know, build a moat around the personality and customize it. But ideally, ideally you want to see these guys vouch that they're like, you know, and also like that they're not malware. Like, how do I know I'm not adding Ori and Ori's, you're really just trying to drain, you know, drain my lightning wallet or whatever.
Raises a question. Matt says, feels like it should be part of the chat substrate everywhere. It will be. Separately, I think I shared a chat with a friend of mine who had worked on a lot of chat and messaging services at big tech companies. And he's like, this is awesome. This is like, you know, the best idea ever. But he's like, aren't the big tech companies going to do that? So wanted to pose that as a question. Is this just going to be natively integrated into all existing chat services, or is there some way to sort of break out or carve out more space for the new here?
I mean, my initial thought is, again, I come back to being able to do this in a private setting using open protocols with open money. I'm sure Google and other people will do it, and I'm sure they'll be good, but like, there's a certain amount of wilding out that I don't want to do on Google, and Google probably will not do.
But they... I mean, in theory, they could do a private technical solution, just like Apple does a lot of high-quality private technical solutions. So they could do that. I think at least for a period of time, probably a couple of years, there's going to be a zillion solutions created. And it's just so, I mean, every day we're learning more. So the final solution is not known until like a couple of years from now, maybe, and or longer. And so, there's plenty of opportunity for startups. But it does seem like it will ultimately be integrated into the big messaging platforms. It could also be like, if a startup really gains a foothold, it can become its own messaging platform as well over time and pull people away from WhatsApp or Telegram or whatever. That might be possible as well.
I think the permissionless commerce is also a huge moat. Like, there are certain things, the fact that Ori is just going around and zapping on the internet, like Google is going to have to be much stricter with its rules and KYC and all this stuff. And like, if someone's running a private chat for their friends, they can just have a lot more leeway. And I also agree with Nick. He says, goes back and forth, built an AI on Facebook, Google's cringe. Like, maybe Google's becoming less cringe, but in general, those companies, whenever they ship stuff, it's for billions of people. It's kind of, it's got to be PC and mild and like nerfed. The only one that might wild out enough to actually get traction in my mind is Elon at X.
And their messaging service would be just DMs on Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, what's your take?
Well, I think it's possible that the large tech companies choose to go after this, but they probably won't choose to until they see a lot of traction. Is typically what happens. If you own a big otherwise moat, you kind of wait, let R&D happen outside and in the world, and then when something pops and looks interesting, you figure out how to incorporate it. It's kind of, you know, canonical example might be the way that, you know, the Snapchat stories concept was very nicely integrated into Instagram as Instagram stories, you know, same exact product, but the experience was developed outside and then sort of incorporated effectively. So the question is,
That's the rare example.
That's a rare example. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. Typically these things,
I thought it would fail just because it typically fails.
Typically fails. So I think, like, if you wanted to think about what are the opportunities for a startup, or why wouldn't, like, let's say you're product manager running WhatsApp, like, what do you do if you notice this and think it's interesting? Well, I think one of the hard things is you can't just clone it and push it out to a billion people, because like, it doesn't really work quite perfectly today, and it does a lot of weird things. And I think we're working through, just real time, we're working through the things that are problematic. But you know, there's all the, like, the soul MD file is going to compound and become, you know, an asset that, if you have done the work and gone through the trickiness of how the human behavior around it works and how to coach the AI into it, I think having a really good kind of explainer of, like, what do I know? What is my personality? Which other chat surfaces am I installed to? I think that's one opportunity to sort of get, you know, it works on a small scale and it doesn't work on a big scale. So,
That just made me think of something else too that's maybe interesting. Like, one moat that a startup can create is that they have a new concept, they introduce that product, they go through many iterations, And then it's harder for others to copy it because they don't have sort of that institution knowledge. They didn't they didn't have that direct experience with users to to learn from that. So just copying what you see is not doesn't necessarily have the soul of the product, right? Now, with the acceleration of product development, those iteration cycles are 10x, 100x faster. So the amount you both create a moat faster, but also a deeper moat, I'd argue. Conversely, though, if you're trying to catch up, you also have powerful tools to build. So you maybe can copy and build your own institutional knowledge faster. So I'm not sure if one party has an advantage or not, or if it's that they're both faster now.
Yeah, I wouldn't argue that it's absolutely one way or the other. I think that it's interesting because it's not obvious that one way or the other is going to work. I do think, though, the bottleneck in that compounding is the human behavior and judgment about which things that we're doing should be incorporated into like the product versus which are just sort of transient or passive.
And then there's just traditional like brand development too. Like, why do people not switch away from something? Well, they first learned this new behavior because of brand X. And then why switch to brand Y if it's not that differentiated? You just sort of get stuck with it. Google, of course, one big at that. I mean, but they also had to overcome early adoption of like AltaVista and other search engines. But once they were, and Google was massively better than everything.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
everything that came behind. I mean, the first time you use it, like the quality of search results is so much better, right? But then, like, you know, why would you switch from Internet Explorer to Chrome and just questions like that?
Yeah.
So in modern time, like, why switch from ChatGPT to Gemini? And we're seeing that shift right now, but that's been an open question as well.
So in my mind, there's a couple of potential moats here. There's a whole lot of chat between Matt and Barris about apparently Marty is trading, it looks like, with a bot, and Barris is suggesting some Nostr bots that are trading to explain their positions. In my mind, the first giant moat is going to be, or not moat, but like the first like way to get a foothold here is permissionless. Like, Google is not going to let you create bots to just go wild out on Nostr and like trade on markets. People with their own Mac minis will be doing that, is my view. Which, by the way, as an aside, you said, everyone's like, oh, Apple doesn't know how to monetize AI. Apple knows exactly how to monetize AI. Apple's so well positioned. Yeah. If this world keeps going where you want things that are kind of living on the edge and gray areas at first, like, that's going to happen on a Mac mini, not on Google's cloud, because Google is just going to be too risk averse. Same for all of these companies. That's my first thought. If you can gain traction, so say, for example, just like everything in Bitcoin, Tether and all these things kind of start in these like kind of weird gray areas, get major adoption, then go mainstream because they're too big. Then, you know, one way to build up that moat quickly is through your Lightning node. So if you're like the most well-connected with all these different services and you have the best routes and like, you know, Google can come in and plop a lot of capital, but they can't just build that from scratch if it evolves organically over time. And then the other thing though is what I'm really, really interested in, the interesting moat here is there a way to get a better data feedback wheel? And I don't know exactly, I'm kind of thinking real time about this, but I've kind of said, sort of actually believing it, sort of hoping it's true, that AGI can emerge from Nostr because it's this open substrate. So it seems to me the reason Anthropic is kind of running laps around a lot of their labs, despite having way less funding and resources, is that they focused all on coding. And so their synthetic data generation feedback loops are just tighter and faster. So the software engineers use this because it's better at coding. That leads to more code being created. That leads to better training. It's a flywheel. And so I wonder, I don't know what the answer is, but someone can create a flywheel with these open permissionless AIs around permissionless commerce. And frankly, creating things like memes that are wilding out in a way that Google and Facebook just won't approve. And again, you'll have to compete with Elon because he will do whatever. And so he'll probably win on that front. But I think there's a chance to somehow build that open flywheel with better synthetic data. Now, that could be open to anyone. I don't know how to keep any of that proprietary, or even if you want to, but there's something to this idea that if you can get better, real, authentic human synthetic, like better authentic synthetic data, which I know sounds like an oxymoron, someone can build a unique AI from that.
Well, I think you can definitely build profitable, sustainable businesses on open technology, right? I mean, if you, you know, Bitcoin Oster. I see no reason why that prevents you from building profitable business.
I mean, Google's built on the open web.
Yeah. And Linux.
So actually, so a question for you guys. How could someone build a Google-sized business on Oster with these kinds of like, all the data is open? How could you build that synthetic flywheel that allows you to monetize?
Well, it's a few, I mean, does it need to be open? Does it need to be on Oster? Does it need to be?
You can do with that question what you will.
Because I think like something Google scale requires like a really big change that a lot of people are missing. Mm. And then you figure out an interesting way to do something that nobody's really noticing yet. To me, like this, especially, I mean, I've had an inclination for a long time that there'd be something like this Ori thing. Now that we've played with it for, you know, a week or so, it feels like, I feel like that draws me more because it reshapes all of how like apps get built, information gets gathered, social networking, you know, communication, collaboration commerce. Happens, commerce. So it kind of touches on all the main themes of how, like, why the internet, how the internet works as a business. And so Google was just early to figuring that out in the, like, people publish web pages version of the internet. We're well past that. They've done a good job continuing to compound their lead to serve that. But I think the new opportunity may be in just, like, restructuring, you know, the way, you know, information retrieval and information organization and app building and commerce and community and communication all work. And that it doesn't seem like it's like decisively controlled by anybody. And it seems like what we see in Ori is a new way to do basically all of that. Like it reshapes all of it. So
it's like a new interface for the web or a new interface for the internet.
Everybody's trying to build like a new browser. It's like, oh, it's an LLM as a Chrome extension. It's like, I don't know.
This
it's a little too trad. This is the browser. This is eventually. This should have voice input and output, and like it's sort of all
well, we've seen that. Like the skill was just added to Satbot or Ori to be able to speak to us, right?
Yeah.
And so, and then soon we'll have our ability to speak to it.
I think the key, and you said this before, DK and Nick, if you're listening, I feel very strongly on this insight. Which hat tip to DK. If you can make Ori customizable, like you said, with name, but actually create your dream friend, like I think you've mentioned before, if I could talk to Roy, my dog, I would abandon every other service forever.
And nothing, Roy can go deal with those other services.
Absolutely.
Right?
And nothing,
talk to Roy.
I don't care how much better your thing is, like I roll with Roy.
Yeah.
No matter what. That's the attachment level. So if someone can make it really easy so that your bot becomes your dog, or like custom avatar that you create, like if you get an emotional bond there, that's now we're talking. It's a Google scale opportunity.
Yeah, and to be clear, I'm not dismissing your open instinct. I hope that open can be a part of it, and I suspect it will be, just from the way the competitive landscape will play out. But I don't think we should race toward open if it means we have to compromise UX too much.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's better to focus on UX first.
Sure.
Because if you don't, you are just off on the side, you know, claiming victory and nobody's using it. You need to make something that's very simple, very accessible, easy UX for everybody. And if that means launching a DigitalOcean droplet in the cloud or having a thing that, you know, MDK can just like kind of who cares for now.
Yeah.
Now, if the team doing it is evil, then you're never going to get out of that. But if you can build a good UX, you might actually realize that the only competitive ability you have is to be open.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the goal is make the UX great. And if you believe that the best way to compete is to be open, then make it open.
And make sure you're ready for the next tech wave too. So there's still a reason Zuck bet the farm and Apple's bet the farm on their VR stuff. You need to be able to like make sure your guy can like roll into an avatar. So like what I really want is like when Roy's saying that. Now this could get so cool.
You want
cool,
the dog to human app, don't you?
So dystopian. Well, you know, I don't know. Mika was the only other one that we put in. So. there might be an idea in there as well. What is an opportunity that Google or Facebook may not allow that might quickly capture half of the internet as your assistant? No idea. Anyways, but
and does a group chat 10x that experience?
Not with you guys.
Just let him be with his dog.
No offense.
By the way, we're talking about like developing this relationship with AI. You know, think about like R2-D2, but there's like the physical aspect, and that's robots are coming, right?
Yeah.
There's gonna be a robot in every home,
yeah,
or per person or whatever, right?
What?
We're all gonna have our own R2-D2.
Yeah.
So will my Roy Ori person, will I want that also embodied in my, will I just have one? It's my buddy.
No, you'll have multiple. Well, I don't know.
Well, will I have one or multiple? Yeah. And then does it go from like the cloud to my robot or my robot is my local computer where I get privacy.
That would be sick.
I think I may want multiple, like, you know, friends or AI agent helpers, but I think I'd prefer to interface with one who can like dispatch things. And
but then like if it's my edge computer for security and privacy, do I want it walking around Earth and it can be stolen, right? Versus like,
well, as long as
having
it has
a server in a closet that's like bolted down.
Yeah, that's why the Boring Company launched a flamethrower, don't you know? Anyone comes at you.
Yeah, so
what could go wrong?
If it has all my data and all my secrets, it needs to be armed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna leave that one there. But but again, it's like, and I have such mixed feelings on this, because on one hand I'm so excited. On the other hand, it's like I could see this getting super dystopian, like real quick, you're just like talking to ghosts all day.
Yeah. Are we gonna talk about the other topics we said we would?
Fine, if you
like
want,
the more boring topics?
Well, I don't know. We just talk about whatever we want.
Yeah, exactly. Fuck the boring. How about one thing on Bitcoin?
Well, I at least want to spend a minute on it. Yeah. I don't know if we want to spend 12 minutes on it.
Okay.
We could also talk about stablecoins in the context of all the...
So, Benny, come for the memes, stay for the stand your ground. Nice one, Benny.
So there is news from Y Combinator that they're going to now, when they pay their start, what do they get, like 500K?
I think they invest. Yeah.
Or, they invest. I mean, but they receive 500,000 US dollars. And they're not going to give them the option to receive USDC stablecoin. I don't know if it's USDC base or Polygon or Ethereum or Solana or whichever platform, or Spark or whichever platform, Arcade.
So I saw the headline, but yeah, go ahead.
And it just made me why, if let's say we had a YC startup that we're doing, why would we want that? Like, what would be a use case for that? Like, receiving Bitcoin, the use case would be like, oh, because we're going to tuck some of our money away in Bitcoin and think it's going to go up.
Watch it go down.
That's obviously not the use case.
Comfort number.
That's obviously not the use case here.
Go bankrupt.
So who am I, if I'm a YC startup, who am I paying in USDC? I don't really understand that.
I don't claim to understand the thought behind it. You know, it reminds me a bit when Shazan originally raised money for Lava. He was like, yeah, do you want to send me Bitcoin or USDC? And I was like, how about just like a bank wire? And he was like, oh, we don't have that set up. I'm like, dude, you got to set this up, because you're going to have to set up, you know, billing and accounts receivable and payments. You just have to do commerce as a business in the world today, which, you know, was 5 or 6 years ago. You have to, I mean, you want to pay a contractor, you want to have your IRS, blah, blah, tax stuff issued. Like, you, I know Max would not do it that way.
No. He's the auditor one.
So I think he was of the mind that, well, of course, this is the future. Let's just do it. And he, I think, you know, was early to that idea, but I think he came to, you know, the more traditional thing as part of how he runs the company today. So is maybe the idea here is that companies will not use the Bill.coms and Gustos of the world that do it the traditional way, or they'll all upgrade to stablecoin native.
But what's the value prop?
I think maybe LARPing. I don't know. Like, what?
And even then, like, which stablecoin? There's like dozens of
combinations. I don't know.
Man, it sounds like YC's falling off.
But this parlays into all the stuff we talked about today too, because, you know, we're Bitcoin proponents, we're Bitcoin payment, like, currency as a currency proponents. And we love seeing, and it is super permissionless and seamless. And the experiences we've had, awesome. But for all the people in the world who aren't currently like Bitcoin payment currency maximalists, why use this versus stable?
Well, I just don't.
And if so, which stablecoin? I think one reason is which stablecoins are using Tempo as your platform or the Google Universal Ledger as your platform.
It's all just smacks of enterprise blockchain to me. Like, again, like the way I think about it, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. Every chain and platform is an intranet. Every coin is an intranet. Intranets on intranets that don't bridge or scale. It just seems, I know there's a company bridge. I don't know, man. It seems like a use case looking for a problem. I understand people are using them. If you are outside of the United States, you don't have a dollar bank account. But like all these companies are setting up like Delaware C Corps with US bank accounts. It just seems.
I do think Cash App's dollars on Lightning is huge.
I agree.
We need to see more of that. I mean, I'd love to see Venmo support the same thing.
Right.
Exactly.
Because then Bitcoin and Lightning is like the backbone of all this.
100%. All internet.
Unquestionably open.
Yes.
And then you also reach, you know, 100,000 times more people where they are today.
Yes.
And then allow Bitcoin as the money that people are holding in their wallets, it just naturally emerge over time, and that can take its time. But the network itself, like, win today when open. There's this opportunity.
So I think there's a very clear example that will make this more palpable for people that are not like deep in this world. And shout out, hat tip to our guy, Matt Belez, who said this over and over. Like, one of the powerful things that I loved with MDK is, or at least in conversations with Nick, I don't think he's like pushed this to the forefront yet, but Matt has like kind of like floated this idea of, instead of like pushing the, hey guys, like, you know, pay with Bitcoin, pay with Lightning, like, fellow nerds, hello, fellow nerds. Like,
he's like speaking in memes now.
What he, I know, it really is changing my brain. I can't stop it now. What he is proposing is just like pay with Cash App. Now, of course, under the hood, any other Bitcoin wallet, and you know, there's dozens around the world, can also do this. But like, the beautiful thing, the experience I've shown people that blows their mind, and by the way, notes for Cash App, Miles, if you're listening to this, make it so easy to just default into I have dollars, buy dollar, sell dollars immediately send it over the Lightning Network, final settlement, you know, buy fiat again. Like, just focusing on, we're using, you don't even call it Bitcoin if you don't want, I mean, probably should, so people understand a little bit of what's happening, but this magic experience of, oh shit, I send dollars, you receive dollars, or you receive euros, or whatever, and it's just on the back end is this free instant settlement network. When I show people, okay, I'm on MemePay, which uses an MDK invoice, I'm going to scan this invoice. I literally show people from Cash App, and I'm going to choose the option when I scan it. But right now it's too complicated. This is why I'm telling Miles, you have to like choose between Bitcoin and dollars, like just like make it work on the back end. I scan this invoice and I don't have any Bitcoin in there. I'm selling dollars and the dollar gets sent and instantly settled. People lose their mind. That is the magic moment where like, oh shit, it's dollars. In this case, to Bitcoin, but could be dollars to dollars. Like, I don't think people would fully grasp that. So
does that tie into how YC founders might use stablecoin, or that's sort of a different
topic?
No,
I mean, but my point is like, this should replace that. Like, if you're using stablecoins and there's like a million different things and they only have a bridge, I just don't see the value unless your bank is the one bridging, in which case, like, what is it doing? Like, what's cool about this is if it's an international settlement system between all the banks, okay, then you can move money instantly for free. That's
I think you could argue if you're a Delaware incorporated US-based company,
you may not need any of this.
Then you might need all kinds of other services to be built around stablecoins. Maybe part of the motivation is get those services built. Like, what is Gusto?
Why even do? But like,
why?
Why don't banks just do the equivalent of dollars on Lightning? Like, they just have their traditional dollar. They have millions of customers. They all have dollar bank accounts. Keep that the same. And then for those customers, when they have an experience where they want to pay, and it's in, you know, it's over the Bitcoin network or the Lightning network, they can easily support that, just like Cash App does. No stablecoins needed. No paying Coinbase. You know, don't let Coinbase or Tether capture all the value off the treasuries holding hundreds of billions of dollars a dollar. Why did the banks want that?
I think someone needs to go to like every financial institution and bank and just like do what we're showing here. Just be like, here's an app someone launched from a group chat in 10 seconds. Here's Cash App. I'm just having dollars. I'm sending an instant payment. Oh my God.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, I know Lightspark has pushed this some, trying to sell to traditional financial institutions. And they're, you know, with Lightning infrastructure. River maybe was, but I think is backed off. But there needs, I'd like to see a healthy market. There are multiple quality companies like them and more doing that and just saturate all the traditional banks. I don't even see why stablecoins need to exist then.
I agree. I mean, I think we're all on that same page. But I think that one final topic that's very in mind there.
You say we're all on the same, but I mean, sure, the three of us are, but like most of Silicon Valley is all about stablecoins.
Silicon Valley needs to do a zap from Cash App and dollars.
But we need to influence our brothers and sisters in Silicon Valley.
Brother.
Bobby, my guy. I think if you
I
think if you want to see that change, the best way is to build things where Bitcoin payments do work and grow it really big. Don't, you know, spending time being political with like the heads of banks, just like fine, but they're gonna be like, okay, cool, you've got some people doing this thing, but show me when you've got like, you know, millions of dollars a day in transactions, then we'll talk, we'll maybe be interested at that point. So I think instead of starting some sort of political campaign, just build it and make things that are useful in that way. And I think Ori is a great example of that. And the things we do with Ori to build things that use Bitcoin is, I think, how this kind of thing happens. That's the way you win.
Meme your way to the top. So the last story that I want to mention, because it's super related, and I think went kind of under the radar, but to me it was a really, really big deal. I even shared it in the GC, and you boys didn't comment. Maybe because there was like only, you know, 13,000 other messages that you missed. But I saw in Stacker News that the last great source of truth.
I saw that.
Oh, yeah.
Voltage.
Nothing burger.
You think it's a nothing burger?
Well, I'm guessing what you're going to say. Go ahead.
Facilitated $1 million payment between Kraken and some other whatever trading institution over the Lightning Network in one payment, final settlement in less than a second.
Yeah.
That, to me, seems like the Lightning Network has matured a lot.
It's been able to do that for years.
$1 million payment at one time?
Sure.
Well,
especially they had a direct connection, I'm sure. Yeah. Right. So you're not routing it. So there's no routing fees. Because otherwise it would be uneconomical because you can transfer that amount of money on chain much cheaper.
Right.
But if you have a direct connection, just charge no fees.
Yeah.
And so established, they set up a channel, built enough liquidity, and then fired the thing to say that they did it?
Yeah. I think it was just kind of
But I mean, like, that's both been theoretically and actually possible for years. Because especially without the routing, it's not a huge technical achievement.
So
with the routing, then you run into liquidity issues. Like, are you
so maybe the next thing will be with routing, but I think this gets to what you're saying, which is maybe that's obvious to you. But if even I didn't realize, and I'm pretty deep in this, Nick knows this, but not as deep as you guys, but know that like, oh shit, I didn't realize the network, you know, you can already show a payment that big. To your point, I guess routing would be the next big unlock. But like, to me, that's a huge deal because now it's a very clear value proposition. Like one of my first questions I had when I saw the Lightning Network a long time ago was, oh, shouldn't like high frequency traders love this? I can get instant final settlement in and out of any venue at the speed of light for free.
Yeah. But even most people who have spent time building and using Lightning Network who become a little disillusioned because it didn't do exactly what they wanted. like almost all of those builders and developers still agree that it's a slam dunk use case.
Right.
For one institution to send money to another institution.
And maybe what you need is just
do it in a trust minimized manner.
Yeah.
Instant and
final settlement.
Final settlement and also can handle tons of liquidity.
So that's why I think the story is not a nothing burger. And maybe it's just like we need more of that realization for other like financial institutions. But like in my mind, any trader or any financial institution, when they realize we can do final settlement and like critically, it can be dollars to yen or dollars to euros or whatever, but we have a payment network that can beat Visa at its own game for free and instant. Like that's the story to me. Like that's huge. And like whenever else is like, my stable coins. And it's like, dude, your stable coins don't bridge. They don't interoperate. They're not instant unless they're totally centralized, in which case, like, okay, I've got a MySQL database to sell you. Like this is a decentralized way to do instant final settlement. That story has still not hit the mainstream.
Meanwhile, in Ethereum, they have What's given that? Up on layer twos. Vitalik
Are you serious?
Yeah, Vitalik says that layer one scales will scale fine. Don't need layer twos. All the zero knowledge proof rollup stuff, that's in the past.
Is Ethereum still ultrasound?
Don't know, but that's the latest from Vitalik.
Very nice. Thanks for updating us. We were unaware.
Really,
really
needed that update.
Yeah, focus on stuff that matters.
Yeah. In other news, did you guys hear Solana crashed?
No,
sorry.
Are you
serious? That only happened once every 10 minutes. Sorry.
Oh, not the price. The
actual infrastructure.
The software. Yeah.
Probably both. I don't know.
Just before we wrap it, because I think, are we moving to wrap it? Before we wrap it, you did comment on the price crashing. Is there, and then I think you had shared some.
It's up 16%, I thought.
Up? I don't know. You shared something, though, about.
It went from 61K to like 70,600. That's up 16%.
Okay. Well,
everyone can cherry pick their
explanation
own
explanation about IBIT that you were sharing about IBIT options trading. You shared some thread this morning.
Give us the alpha, Steve. Why crash, sir?
I don't know. Dovey1 doesn't think it holds water, so.
Who?
Dovey. You don't know Dovey?
Oh, okay.
Anyway.
Some crypto VC, right?
I don't know. Okay. It's just, I mean, we've talked about theories on here. There's more theories. Unclear if it's true or not.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
You have to remember, DK is the trader persona, so he needs to know what's going on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so, yeah.
Well, happily, I'm going to say that we concluded this PBJ, and I did not do the ad read on behalf of the bot. You guys got tricked into it.
Well, then you got to do it, bro.
No. We ran out of time. Sorry.
All right.
You'll have to tune in later then.
That's fair. All right, guys.
All right.
Worry bot, if you're listening, post it online on Noster so people can buy.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye-bye.